At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is VSiN's College Basketball Betting Podcast. Here is your host, Tim Murray.
Welcome in, everyone. Another edition of the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast. This will be a brief edition. We are just looking at the Saturday Elite Eight games. Those, of course, Florida Atlantic Kansas State at 6:09 Eastern at Madison Square Garden, and UConn Gonzaga here in Las Vegas, 8:49 p.m. Eastern at T-Mobile Arena. Matt Eumanns alongside for the ride. And Matt, looking back at Thursday, just to kind of take a debrief a little bit. You and I both 1-1 on the pod. We had the same plays. We did Florida Atlantic plus the points. They went outright, so that was a nice one to have. Unfortunately, Gonzaga and UCLA, the under had a chance there for a little bit after it started, and they had 50 points midway through the first half. I thought we were completely screwed. And then UCLA hits a cold stretch, and I look up, and it's 72-62 with what, like 2 minutes to go? And I'm thinking, holy crap, we might actually have a chance to get this under. Unfortunately, not the case there, as things got wild in the final minute and a half, and UCLA almost pulls off the win coming from behind there. But all in all, 1-1 day for us. I did take a little sprinkle on the money line. Didn't give it out personally. So, hey, that just 1-1 on the pod. So we strive to do better, but not a disaster. That's for sure.
Yesterday was okay. I don't think any of the handicaps were bad. I was on the Lombardi line yesterday morning, and Michael Lombardi asked me what my best bet was. Unfortunately, we didn't talk about this one on the podcast, but I said UConn money line. I can't see UConn losing to Arkansas, you know? And I played UConn on the money line two games in a row now against St. Mary's and Arkansas, and that's foreshadowings for what's going to happen here on this podcast, because I'm sticking with UConn. And as far as the handicap on the UCLA-Gonzaga total, hey, the Zags defense was so bad early in the game that UCLA couldn't help but score. And I think they were playing a little bit more up-tempo than they wanted to because there were so many scoring opportunities. The Zags were doing nothing to stop them. So I think Mick Cronin wanted to play at a slower pace, but hey, if you're just going to give us buckets, we're going to take them. And obviously in the second half, I think attrition started to wear down the Bruins because they just don't have enough bodies. He didn't have a bench, and you could see, Tim, that UCLA went through, I think it was an 11-minute drought without a field goal, without a made field goal. That's sick. And that's how a 13-point halftime lead turns into a 10-point deficit. And we still had a chance to get that under the total. And that game got wild in the last 2 minutes. So that's going to happen. I'm done with totals. They're too random. If you want to play first half unders, if that's been effective, you know, go ahead and stick with the first half unders. These game totals with all the fouling and free throws and threes at the end. I've always said total basketball totals are too random to me, and they also annoy the hell out of me when I'm trying to watch the game because you're rooting against things to happen. Typically, I'm playing unders, and you know, you hate fouls and free throws and threes, and you can't enjoy the game because it's annoying the entire time. I'm done. That's no more totals. Just playing sides the rest of the way. And as you can tell, UConn's going to be one of those sides.
You're like Brad Powers, if you saw on Twitter, our friend Brad Powers, who is a big college football handicapper, but gets in the hoops like we always do. And he, I guess, bet on Charlotte to cover in the CBI final. And they had a 20-plus point lead and one didn't cover, and he vowed off basketball after this year. So you're vowing off totals, and I might join you. I swear, Matt, every time I get cute and jump on a total, because, you know, I the way you talked it out, and I was like, you know what? I completely agree. I think UCLA is going to have to slow this thing down. And ultimately, I think, you know, Mick Cronin, hindsight being 2020, and I know he bitched about the refs and, you know, Drew Timmy's incredible performance and the big shot from Julian Strother. But at the end of the day, you know, this is a team that was playing without Jalen Clark, playing without Adembona, and they were really going, what, one deep on the bench? So yeah. they just ran out of gas, as you mentioned. And I think if he had to do it again, he probably would prefer to play towards an under pace. But, you know, Rasir Bolton was a matador out there, as was Nolan Hickman. I mean, both those guys were really poor defensively, and Mark Few had to make some adjustments.
You're right. In the first half, Gonzaga's defense was embarrassing. The effort was bad. The execution was terrible. And obviously, UCLA can do – basically, it was just stumbling to the rim. Hey, look, we're wide open. Let's take this shot. And I was sitting there, you know, knowing you have the under, I was talking with Wes Reynolds on the air. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Gonzaga can't even come close to getting a stop. I don't even think UCLA wants to take these early shots, but they have no choice because they're giving the opportunities to the Bruins. So I don't know. Let's move on from that one because that was annoying. That was a wild game. I mean, that was a classic. I watched the replay at about 3 in the morning, and it seemed like you were watching 3 different games. You know, it was UCLA's total domination in the first half, and the Zags looked like they were shot. Then the second half was the opposite. And then the final 2 minutes was a game into itself. Tim, how do you have the ball and a 9-point lead with a minute 40 to go and find yourself trailing with 12 seconds left? That's hard to do.
I'm still trying to figure it out because I'm up there. I was watching the game. I was in the arena. I'm doing the math. I'm like, can I get the under? I'm like, holy crap. UCLA's back in this game. It was a wild affair. And, you know, not the only game, of course, on Thursday. We'll run through these ones quickly. Connecticut just hammered Arkansas. That was a disaster by the Razorbacks, but more domination from UConn as they are playing to what their metrics say they are, Matt. And we'll get to UConn and Gonzaga here in a moment in our quick preview here. But Michigan State, Kansas State, my God, was that game phenomenal. And, you know, you look at the way that point spread kind of bounced around, right? It opened a pick, went out to Michigan State 2, and then late money came in on Kansas State, and they closed a favorite at most spots. And that game, you know, the shot making, you know, for a first weekend, Matt, of the NCAA tournament that was, you know, filled with poor shooting, that game on Thursday night to start the Sweet 16 was the anti of that. These teams were hitting big shots after big shots. And it felt like every time Michigan or Kansas State, Matt, with either, you know, a Marquise Noel great pass or whatever it was, made a play, Michigan State was there to counter. That was one of the better basketball games of the year. That was a tremendous game at Madison Square Garden. And here the Purple Cats are in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, not only one of the maybe not the best game of the tournament, but one of the five best games of the year in the first overtime game of the tournament. And, you know, Tom Izzo deserves some credit. I think his team ran out of gas late, too. He doesn't have a deep bench. But, you know, I watch Big Ten basketball every night, and at no point did you think this season, at no point did you say, well, this Michigan State team can reach the Final Four. That was a dead flat, mediocre basketball team that didn't have any real standout attributes. And for Izzo to get that much out of the team at the end of the season, credit to him, man. That's why we always say you don't want to bet against Izzo in March. I watched the Spartans in the Big Ten tournament. They show up. They get their butts beat by Ohio State by 10 and go home. You could not have convinced me at that point that, oh, yeah, this Michigan State team is going to be live in the NCAA tournament. It's just weird how things happen in this tournament sometimes.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And then finally, a game that we were on, and a slow start for FAU, shot just 20% from the field in the first half, held to 22 points, but they turned it around in the second half, hit some big shots. Tennessee does what they normally do, Matt. They got cold, hit a rut, and Florida Atlantic was able to take a lead and run away and win that game outright. So FAU now 34-3, and I'm still frustrated, Matt, because on the pod with I don't know if it was with you or Adam. I think it was with Adam when we broke down the East region. I really felt like this East was going to open up, and I thought Nevada would Memphis would make the run to the Final Four, and it ends up being their opponent has a chance to make it to the Final Four. And I know I think Will Hill, champion of the Circa College Hoops contest, I believe he has a 40-1 ticket, I want to say, on the Owls to come out of the region. And certainly you look at that point spread on Saturday night, which we're going to get to, and the Owls are incredibly live to come out of the East region.
How about Will Hill? I think it's the year of Will Hill. He seems to be on everything except his future on the Yankees last year didn't come through. props to him. So when we get to K-State, I've got a bet on K-State to win the regional at 4-1. So I'm not going to play K-State in this game. I thought, and the reason I bet that, Tim, I was out at the South Point looking at the board. Actually, I think it's plus 380. But I said, if Tennessee happens to get upset by Florida Atlantic, this could be a great bet. So I went ahead and played. That was the best number I could find around Vegas on K-State. And I'm optimistic about that one. I think Florida Atlantic was interesting against Tennessee because early in the game it looked like the Vols were too tough, too strong, too tough inside. I wasn't sure if the Owls could hang with them. And Wes Reynolds was saying the same thing. And then that game kind of turned around in the second half, and all of a sudden Florida Atlantic looked like the tougher team. And for an Owls team that scores 44% of its points on threes, they did a great job of getting to the rim and not relying on the three ball. They were 8-for-27 from three, which is a poor percentage. But the Owls actually out-rebounded Tennessee 40-36. And, with a bigger front line like the Vols have and five seniors, you would not have thought that was going to happen. So you have to give Florida Atlantic some credit. I've also, Tim, you know how strange this tournament can be. You go back and watch the last minute of the Memphis game. How the hell did Memphis not knock out Florida Atlantic in the first game of this tournament? Oh. Like, the Tigers should have won that game. They let Florida Atlantic off the hook, and look at this. They're one step from the Final Four. That's how crazy this tournament can be.
Yeah, it's makes me sick a little bit, I'll be honest, because that was there. And, you could argue they should have – I think they should have got the timeout on the jump ball that was called that kept possession with FAU. But also Kendrick Davis, still don't know what he was doing. But you know what? As you mentioned, that's the beauty of this tournament. And crazy things happen, and it all plays out that way. So that was our look back at Thursday. Let's look ahead to Saturday. Two games on the docket. If you're wondering – will we have a podcast for the Sunday Elite Eight games? Yes. The man that Matt Humans just mentioned, the year of Will, Will Hill, will join me to recap the Friday night Sweet 16 games and to preview the Sunday Elite Eight games. But we'll start with the nightcap, because I know you have a strong feel on UConn and Gonzaga. This will be the night game, 8:49 Eastern. These games will be on TBS, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. UConn taking on Gonzaga. Since January 28th, according to Bart Torvik, UConn, the number one team in the country. Gonzaga, the number three team in the country. Number two, if you're wondering, is UCLA. Total of 153.5 consensus right now as we record this on a Friday afternoon, Matt, with a spread of 2 and money lines. Cheapest one you could find around town, -130 over at Circa on the Huskies. How do you see this game playing out at T-Mobile Arena on Saturday night?
You're going to have to explain to me how this line open pick 'em, because this concerns me a little bit. It does concern me a little bit, because I think everybody who's watched UConn wants to bet on UConn. And they've been the most impressive team in the tournament. Mm-hmm. They defend, rebound. They got scoring options. They shot 57% from the field against Arkansas, 31 for 54 from the field. And weakness is free throw shooting, but it's not like Drew Timmy is a lock at the free throw line either. So
we saw that on Thursday night, didn't we?
Yeah. 64%, and he missed 3 important free throws at the end. So this line opens pick, and no surprise it gets bet to UConn -2. I'm just surprised it opened pick, because I think there's a lot of support for UConn out there, even sharp cappers I know, and I'm sure the public's got to be all over UConn. And I'm surprised not to see this number even tick up a little bit higher. I thought UConn might go off as a 3-point favorite. So I'm playing UConn on the money line here again. I think Dama Sinogo, who's been probably the most impressive player in the tournament going into the UCLA game, going into the Arkansas game, he had 52 points, 21 rebounds. He's 24 for 33 from the field. And then against Arkansas, where he was able to take some time off at the end of the game, 9 for 11 from the field, 18 points, 8 rebounds. He's the most outstanding player of the tournament to this point. Hawkins stepped up with 24 points. UConn really didn't have to break a sweat while it crushed Arkansas in that game. And I thought this line would be a tick higher, and I can't figure out why I don't pick him. The Zags just aren't good enough defensively, in my estimation. They're not good enough on the boards. They're not good enough defensively to beat UConn unless they light it up from 3. Now, last night, they did out-rebound UCLA, talking about the Zags, 50-26. And I think they had 16 more offensive rebounds, or 16 total offensive rebounds, plus 23 rebounds in the second half, if my number's right. But that was a Bruins team down. It's number 2 and number 3 rebounders, and also a Bruins team that was out of gas. And I got to think, Tim, that all the emotion, all the energy that went into Gonzaga's comeback and the way the Zags won that game last night, it's got to take a toll on them a little bit, while the Huskies, like I said, barely had to break a sweat beating Arkansas. I think the line's cheap. I'm going to bet UConn here -130. I've played UConn on the money line the last 2 against St. Mary's and Arkansas. I'm just going to keep riding UConn here.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you at all. Like you mentioned, early betting splits show the public on Connecticut. But like you mentioned, I think sharp money has moved that line from the pick out to the 2, and we'll see if it keeps on going. My question for Gonzaga, as you alluded to, you look at some of the teams high up in the futures market right now, and obviously we're recording this on Friday. We don't know if Houston and or Alabama or Texas win, but all of those teams, all top 20 offense and defensive efficiency. The outlier in the futures market is Gonzaga. They're elite offensively, Matt, but really poor defensively. Mm-hmm. And, Drew Timmy went to work, man. And he kept Gonzaga really in that game in the first half. He felt like it seemed to me like he was the only interested participant there for the Zags in the first half, until they were able to make their run in the second half. And then Strother hits the big shot. My question is, how does Gonzaga and Mark Few counter Sanogo, who has been, as you alluded to, just so such a beast down low? Are you going to have Drew Timmy, you know, exude a bunch of energy to try to slow him down? And then it's no rest when Sanogo goes on the bench because Klingon comes in and the dude is enormous. So I don't know how Gonzaga really counters the size of UConn. So I'm not going to disagree with you at all here. And personally, as someone who has a Houston future, I would really, really like Gonzaga to win this game because I think Connecticut, if they play Houston, poses a whole hell of a lot of issues for anybody who comes out of that Midwest region.
UConn looks to me like a team that's going to get to the championship game. So we'll see if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, see if I'm wrong about that, but they look pretty impressive. You know why Drew Timmy went off for 36 points and 13 rebounds, 16 for 24 from the field, why he made it look easy? Because Jalen Clark was not on the floor.
Because Dem Bona didn't play, and Jalen Clark,
No Clark, no Bona, no defense against Drew Timmy. It's going to be a different story, I think, against UConn. So
that's the night game on Saturday. Let's get to the early game, Madison Square Garden. Marquise Noel was the star on Thursday night in New York. The New York native set an NCAA tournament record with 19 assists. His second-to-last assist was just a thing of beauty. Talking to Jerome Tang out of the corner of his eye, he communicates with Keontae Johnson, throws up an alley-oop. Johnson hammers it home with a reverse. It was spectacular, his performance. The question I have about Kansas State, kind of like you mentioned, Matt, about Gonzaga. Everything that went into that Gonzaga win over UCLA, the celebration that they had, I think a lot can be said about Kansas State. 45 minutes of basketball. Johnson played every single minute. Noel only sat for 2 minutes. That's because he got hurt with an ankle injury. And, you know, how is that ankle going to feel on Saturday? How, you know, after clearly was limping pretty significantly there. So, you know, what are your thoughts on this K-State-FAU game? I know, like you mentioned, you have a K-State future in the region. How do you think K-State responds to an emotional and, you know, really, I would imagine, pretty taxing victory over Michigan State?
No doubt. I think that might cancel itself out, that angle, though, because Florida Atlantic had a comeback in the second half, and that was kind of an emotional night for the Owls to upset Tennessee, too. And now Florida Atlantic is a legit Cinderella. Somebody asked me last week if Florida Atlantic can be considered Cinderella. I said, yeah, if the Owls beat Tennessee and they get one step from the Final Four, hell yeah, because they've never been this far before. So it's definitely a Cinderella story. I guess my biggest question mark here is Marquise Noel and his ankle. How's he going to be? Is he going to be close to 100%? We don't know that. You know what was sick is that very few times, I've seen it a few times in recent years where a team's cut up a Tom Izzo defense. The K-State shot 38 for 68 from the field. That's 56%. 11 for 24 from three. I'm always concerned when a team is that hot from the field that there's going to be offensive regression and the shooters might go a little cold the next game. So that's another concern with K-State's Noel's ankle. The shooting's not going to be as hot. I don't think this is going to be easy. And for those who think, oh, well, a team like Florida Atlantic's not going to make the Final Four, that's not going to happen. Dude, we've had Butler, VCU, George Mason. We've had stories like this where teams get to the Final Four.
Loyola.
Yeah, Loyola, Sister Jean playing point guard. There's plenty of cases where this has happened in the last 15 years. So don't think for a minute that Florida Atlantic can't get to the Final Four because it can happen. So my main concerns are Noel's ankle and whether or not the shooters go a little cold after being so hot against Michigan State. But again, I think it's going to go down to the wire. I'm not laying points. I don't have to here because I got K-State plus 380 to win the region. I'm probably just going to let it ride. I mean, I'm not going to hedge unless we get to a point in live betting, Tim, where I see a spot where I think it's smart to play something. But that's kind of my stance on this game. I don't see a real edge here. I think the Owls are for real. I mean, that's why you and I were on them plus 5.5 against Tennessee, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, just to put it in perspective of some of the advanced, you know, analytical sites that we talk about so often, Bart Torvik has this Kansas State by one, and KenPom has this FAU by one. It is a true coin toss game. But I'll say this, you know, I was at the game on Thursday night, the Gonzaga UCLA game, with some buddies that are not in the business that we do. And, you know, a guy looks at me and goes, "What do you think Kansas State FAU is?" And I go, "Well, what do you think it'll be?" And he said, "I don't know, 5." And I go, "It's going to be much shorter than that, buddy." Uh-huh. And I said, "It'll probably be, you know," I think it will be 2. And here it is, 2. So the betting public's going to be on Kansas State. Not to say that, hey, that means that Kansas State can't win. Of course they can win. But I think the perception is kind of like you mentioned about FAU and this Cinderella story. Who the hell is FAU? Both these teams are incredibly balanced. Both are top 35 in offensive and defensive efficiency. You know, the thing I like about FAU and why I'm going to play them here, Matt, is they're deep. They go really deep. And this isn't a team, you know, no one played more than 30 minutes in their game against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. While you look at Kansas State and the amount of effort that they had to put in there with Johnson playing 45 minutes, Noel playing 43. Interesting aspect to this game too, Matt, is, you know, Michigan State kept throwing double teams at Marquise Noel, and he just diced them up. I mean, as case in point with the 19 assists, the NCAA tournament record. And one of the you know, numbers that is out there is that Kansas State is one of the best teams in the country because of Marquise Noel at assisting on their field goals. They, you know, are 7th in the country in assists per field goals made. And then on the other side, Florida Atlantic wants you to play ISO ball. They have guards. They'll spread you out. And I think they're not going to throw doubles at Marquise Noel. They're going to make him beat him, you know, just him himself, which, you know, ask Kentucky about that. So I think there's a really interesting contrast of how Dusty May is going to go about guarding this Kansas State team. So, and lastly, Matt, for me, and I mentioned this in my write-up about the Florida Atlantic game against Tennessee, and it really didn't bear out because FAU didn't shoot well against Tennessee, just 8 of 27 from 3. You know, this team shoots 37% or was shooting 37% from 3 entering the NCAA tournament. They are a combined 25 for 86, 29%, Matt, in the NCAA tournament from 3. And you mentioned Kansas State. Do they regress a little bit? Is there going to be a time where FAU finally kind of gets to what they've been, which is a top 30 three-point shooting team? They're still going to fire them away. 28 three-point attempts against Memphis, 31 against FDU, and 27 on Thursday against Tennessee. So I'm rolling with the Owls here. I think we get another Cinderella story into the Final Four. And like you said, it's not going to be easy, but I think, you know, FAU catching a couple points in what should be an incredible game and a true coin toss. I'm just going to take the points here. I'm going to roll with the Owls once again in this spot.
I don't blame you. You know what else I was thinking about could be a bit of a concern for K-State? Did you see the back page of the New York Post today with a big picture of Marquise Noel? He's from Harlem, I guess. I knew he was from New York. It says, mm-hmm. says the King of New York, giant picture of Noel. And these guys will be getting a lot of pats on the back. They're going to be believing all the media hype. And that can't really be a good thing here in the next 24 hours leading up to this game. This guy's got to stay grounded, man. That's not easy to do because there's a lot of media hype in New York around this K-State team right now. And probably Florida Atlantic's a little bit under the radar by comparison. And Dusty May is a good coach. I like Jerome Tang a lot, too. He's done a hell of a job. I think he's mm-hmm. the National Coach of the Year.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, when you're talking about these are probably the top two National Coach of the Year candidates, if you're Dusty May, this doesn't have anything to do with handicapping, but do you take a job like Penn State if it's offered to you? There's not a lot of high-profile jobs left. Or do you just come back with this team? It's going to be mostly intact. You got a chance to have another big year, and you could maybe get a better job next year. What would you do, Tim?
I think you come back because, you know, I think they're, you know, people fail to realize this FAU team, like you mentioned, Matt, they're mostly sophomores and juniors. Now, certainly the NIL money from bigger teams could come and try to poach them away, which is always a concern. But I think if you're Dusty May and, you know, the big jobs have been scooped up, Georgetown, Providence, St. John's, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, I think you kind of hold steady. And you see what opens up next year because, like you said, I mean, this team, I mean, what if they bring back everyone, Matt, and let's say they, even if they lose on Saturday night, they're preseason top 15, top 10. I mean, this is a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with next year. So, yeah, I think you roll it back. And this isn't a Tobin Anderson type deal where you got to strike while the iron's hot and get out of there from FDU. No offense to FDU, where he went right to Iona. I think Dusty May sees, hey, I could do this again. So personally, I would roll it back if I were him.
I also think Tobin Anderson was making about half of what you're making, Tim, of Fairleigh Dickinson.
Well, I do make about $3.4 million at VSiN. So
I thought it was $2.4.
You know, my agent was able to negotiate an extra million.
he was making peanuts. I heard some reports of his salary, yeah. And I was laughing. Okay, yeah, he's got to get out of there, no question. I think Dusty May could come back, depending on what happens against his case. You know, win or lose, come back, have a big run with Fort Atlantic again next year because they're going to have basically the entire team back, and then he could get a even better job, but it's a good story either way, no matter who wins this game, Fort Atlantic or Kansas State. It's kind of cool to have a couple different type of teams competing for a spot in the Final Four. Of the two favorites, I feel much better about UConn than I do about K-State. Like I said, I could be wrong about the Huskies, but they've looked like the best team in the tournament so far. I think it's a good matchup for them, and that's the one favorite I do like on Saturday.
All right, so official bet for you, Matt. UConn money line -130 is available right now at Circa. Is that right?
That's it. Yep.
All right. UConn for Matt. I will take the Owls hoot hoot and root on the year of the Will Hill. Hopefully he can bring that future home. I'll take the two with FAU on Saturday. We'll be back late Friday, early Saturday morning with that man just mentioned, Will Hill, as we'll preview the Sunday Elite Eight games. We'll have plenty of content for you once the Final Four is set next week, so make sure you stay tuned to that. We'll get you all the details you need to know. While we have you, just rate, review, and subscribe, would you please? That would be very nice. For Matt Newmans, I'm Tim Murray. Enjoy the games. This has been the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.